Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. A Man for All Markets by Edward O. Thorpe is a wide-ranging memoir and idea-driven account of how a mathematician turned probability into a practical edge, first at the casino table and later in the financial markets. Best known for pioneering card counting and for early work that helped shape quantitative investing, Thorpe traces the path from academic curiosity to real-world application, showing how careful measurement, testing, and discipline can overturn conventional wisdom. The book moves from the colorful world of Las Vegas and blackjack teams to the less visible but equally competitive arena of Wall Street, where Thorpe applies similar principles of expected value, risk control, and continuous learning. Along the way, he describes the tools and mindset required to exploit small advantages, the institutional resistance that often greets new methods, and the ethical and practical questions that come with beating established systems. It is both an origin story of modern quantitative thinking and a readable narrative about decisions under uncertainty. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, turning probability into an edge at the blackjack table, a central theme is how Thorpe translates abstract probability into a repeatable strategy that wins over time. Rather than relying on hunches, he treats blackjack as a system with measurable inputs, rules, deck composition, and betting constraints. The key insight is that the game is not static. When more high cards remain in the shoe, the player's expected value improves, and betting should increase. When the deck is unfavorable, bets should shrink. That simple idea requires disciplined execution, quick mental arithmetic, and a willingness to endure short-term variance while trusting long-term expectation. The narrative highlights how experimentation matters, trial runs, simulated play, and iterative refinement allow a strategy to be stress-tested before real money is risked. It also explores the adversarial nature of the environment. Casinos adjust rules, monitor behavior, and sometimes bar skilled players, which forces constant adaptation. Beyond the mechanics, this topic shows how advantage play is a case study in decision-making under uncertainty, define the edge, quantify it, manage the bankroll, and avoid emotional choices. The casino becomes a laboratory for learning what a genuine edge looks like and how fragile it can be if mismanaged. Secondly, risk, bankroll management, and the mathematics of survival, winning systems fail when risk is misunderstood, and Thorpe emphasizes survival as the first objective. Even with a positive expected value, outcomes are noisy, and sequences of losses can bankrupt an overconfident player or investor. This topic centers on position sizing, drawdown awareness, and the trade-off between aggressive growth and staying power. The logic is simple. If you bet too much, volatility can wipe you out before the edge has time to work. If you bet too little, you may leave meaningful gains on the table. Thorpe's perspective aligns with a scientific approach to risk, estimate probabilities, calculate the impact of worst-case runs, and calibrate bet sizes to the available bankroll and tolerance for loss. The broader lesson is that risk is not an afterthought. It is part of the strategy itself. He also shows why psychological resilience matters. Proper sizing makes it easier to follow the system, because the swings become emotionally and financially bearable. Readers see how the same principles that protect a blackjack bankroll also apply to portfolios, where leverage, concentration, and liquidity can amplify small mistakes. The result is a practical philosophy. Edges are valuable, but they only compound if you avoid ruin and keep playing the game long enough. Thirdly, from casino tactics to quantitative investing on Wall Street, Thorpe's shift from Las Vegas to finance illustrates how the concept of expected value generalizes beyond games. Markets are not designed as player versus house contests, but they still contain mispricings, structural frictions, and behavioral errors that can be exploited with the right tools. This topic focuses on the translation process, identifying repeatable opportunities, collecting data, building models, and executing systematically. Thorpe's account underscores that markets reward methodical thinking more than storytelling. Instead of predicting narratives, he looks for measurable relationships and constructs trades where the payoff distribution is favorable. The book also conveys that an edge in markets can be subtle and time-limited. As information spreads and competition increases, profitable anomalies shrink, so adaptability and research discipline become essential. Another important point is operational reality. Trading costs, slippage, borrowing constraints, and counterparty exposure can turn theoretical profits into real losses if ignored. By comparing the casino floor to Wall Street trading, Thorpe reveals a shared structure. Both domains punish impulsive decisions and reward those who understand probabilities, incentives, and risk. For readers, this topic offers a grounded view of quant investing as applied problem solving rather than mystique, and it frames finance as a sequence of experiments with capital at stake. Fourthly, innovation, secrecy, and the arms race against gatekeepers, a recurring storyline, is the strategic tension between innovators and institutions that control the playing field. In casinos, a successful technique draws scrutiny, rule changes, and surveillance. In finance, profitable strategies attract imitators, market impact, and sometimes regulatory or structural pushback. This topic examines how Thorpe navigates that arms race through careful information management, continual improvement, and an understanding of incentives. The book shows that discovery is only the beginning. The ability to implement and protect an advantage often determines whether it remains profitable. That may involve limiting disclosure, selecting collaborators cautiously, and building processes that are hard to reverse engineer. At the same time, Thorpe presents innovation as a disciplined practice: test hypotheses, keep records, learn from anomalies, and update the model when reality disagrees. Another dimension is ethics and reputation. Working in environments where others may bend rules or misrepresent risk forces, decisions about partners, transparency, and personal standards. The reader sees that beating a system can provoke emotional reactions from the system's defenders, and that success may require tact as well as intelligence. The broader takeaway is that competitive domains evolve. Anyone seeking an edge must expect countermeasures, assume that today's advantage may be tomorrow's baseline, and build a culture of learning that stays ahead of the next adjustment. Lastly, a decision-making framework for uncertainty and lifelong learning. Beyond gambling and investing, the book offers a transferable framework for making better decisions when outcomes are uncertain. Thorpe's approach begins with clarity about goals and constraints, then moves to measurement: what data can be collected, what assumptions are reasonable, and what risks are being accepted. He treats intuition as a hypothesis generator rather than a decision engine. The emphasis is on checking beliefs against evidence, using math as a tool but not as a substitute for judgment. Readers also encounter the human side of rationality. Overconfidence, fear, and social pressure can cause people to abandon sound strategies at the worst moments, so routines and rules are used to protect decision quality. This topic highlights the importance of feedback loops, track results, separate luck from skill as best as possible, and refine methods without chasing noise. It also stresses that expertise is built by crossing boundaries. Thorpe's work draws from mathematics, computing, psychology, and practical experimentation, illustrating how interdisciplinary curiosity creates an advantage. The payoff for readers is a mindset that fits many arenas, from entrepreneurship to career choices. Seek asymmetric opportunities, define downside, validate with tests, and stay humble about what is unknown. The book ultimately argues that rational thinking is not cold detachment, but a craft that supports freedom, resilience, and better outcomes over time. In conclusion, this book is best for readers who enjoy true stories about strategy and competition, and for anyone curious about how quantitative thinking moved from academia into casinos and modern finance. Aspiring quants, investors, entrepreneurs, poker and blackjack enthusiasts, and professionals who make decisions under uncertainty will find practical lessons without needing advanced mathematics. The benefit is less about copying a specific tactic and more about adopting a durable way of thinking. Define an edge, test it, size risk so you can survive volatility, and keep improving as conditions change. Those habits can improve a reader's life by reducing costly impulsive decisions, encouraging evidence-based planning, and building comfort with uncertainty in money, career, and personal projects. Compared with many investing or self-improvement books, Thorpe's story stands out because it connects principles to real high-stakes implementation, including the frictions that theories often ignore. It also spans two worlds that rarely get tied together so clearly, showing that the same logic governs games, markets, and everyday choices. For buyers, the value is a blend of memoir, history of quantitative finance, and a practical blueprint for rational decision-making, delivered by a pioneer who helped shape the field. If you would like to support Edward O.O. Thorpe, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.